Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
And I'm Brad Jackson.
So what are we smoking this week, Brad?
This week we are smoking a cigar by Syndicato called Hex. I put the hex on you.
Bastard.
And this is going to sport a Ecuadorian Habano wrapper with Nicaraguan binders and fillers.
Yeah, we thought it was a fitting cigar because, you know, you think hex, you think some paranormal stuff. And this week we're going to talk about the 30th anniversary of Monster Squad, which as of this recording, 30 years today.
Yeah, which is just freaking awesome.
And we are also going to talk a little bit about the movie
now
that's
everybody
always
feels old.
Closely compared to, which is Goonies. Because it really is the same movie except with monsters. In fact, that's how I described it when someone asked me, what's Monster Squad? I'm like, it's Goonies with the Universal monsters. Instead of pirates, it's vampires. Just get over it. And if you're going to fight monsters, you know, if you can't get a hold of the Monster Squad, you should always call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Promo code Cigar Nerds for 20% off your order. Kick the can. And as we're coming up on Dragon Con, man, they come in the nice little metal, you know, little tin pouches that you can put in your water, your beer,
great
your tequila.
For transporting.
Whatever. So yeah, you can like have a whole bandolier on them if you need. It'll keep you going through Dragon Con while you're not sleeping. Yeah, you know, that's pretty much what kept us alive last year was all the Strike Force we drank. Which I just ordered a new box. It arrived today, so I'll have Strike Force to get me through Dragon Con.
Yes, which is, you know, a necessity. And I think, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about Dragon Con and, you know, kind of do our annual survival tips later in this episode too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that and we're going to give you where at least a few of the places we're going to be hanging out and doing stuff all weekend to give you some party recommendations.
We're at Dragon Con, man. We're at all the places.
That's what it feels like. It's like we're somewhere always. And with that, we'll be right back. Back to the podcast. It's time to get a little spooky up in here and also feel really, really old.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the feeling that I got.
Oh, yeah, when I looked up and it was like, oh, shit, 30 years of Monster Squad. So that means I watched this when I was 8.
I mean, when you think about the, you know, for the 20th anniversary, they brought in a lot of the cast and did, you know, Monster Squad Forever. It was the documentary for the 20th anniversary. So now just think, we're 10 years past that.
Yeah, because, you know, I didn't have to find this online. I actually had the 20th anniversary DVD, and it was still, 20 years ago, it was still DVD. And I'm like, oh my god, I've had this for 10 years now. At least my, like, you know, Goonies anniversary edition, it was a Blu-ray. It was, this is like still DVD, it came out so long
ago. Well,
that
just shows that you did it wrong, because you should have had that on VHS.
Yeah, the Goonies was the 25th anniversary edition, I think, that I have at the house. It's But yeah, the Monster Squad is one of those movies that, like, you know, I loved as a kid because, you know, I was all about monsters and weird stuff. And, you know, it was, that was the thing. Like, I think we mentioned this when we talked about Stranger Things, is back in the 80s, movies involved, like, the main characters were kids and they were getting in legitimate danger. It wasn't like cartoon danger or, you know, kids dealing with cartoon problems like we get nowadays, but, you know, it was kids being threatened by monsters and pirates and gangsters. I mean, it was like, you know, kids could legitimately get hurt, and, you know, they never did because they were the heroes, but, you know, there was the perceived threat back in the
80s. The perils kind were of never, like, ending.
Yeah, you know, everything got a little too snowflakey and, like, oh, we can't put kids in any kind of fictional danger.
Well, and I mean, you know, I think about, you know, growing up, I mean, I'm a little bit younger than you are, but not by too much. You know, I think we had, you know, similar childhoods. You were able to go out and, you know, roam the woods. You were, yes, gone all day. You know, sometimes, hey, I'm going camping in the woods and I'm not coming back tonight. And, you know, those types of things. And,
yes, and you know, I don't think the shoddily built treehouse in the backyard.
Yeah. You know, with three of your friends scoped out, waiting to shoot you with BB guns, with no face mask or, yes, goggles or, you know.
You could not remake this movie today because the premise of the movie would make no sense to anyone who is, like, a kid nowadays. So, like, what? You got to ride your bike to school and roam the town free and go visit scary German guy?
Like, what? No, you range your kids free range? Like, I thought that was a chicken term. I didn't actually realize, like, I was, you know, browsing through Facebook and there were legit people upset about, you know, like, free range parents. And I'm like, what the fuck is a free range parent? And it's like, oh, it's like when I was a kid. Yeah, oh, like, okay.
Get home before the streetlights turn on. I mean,
like, or if you didn't make it home at a certain time, then, you know, I mean, I can remember being out, you know, on family trips, and if I didn't come back to a room or something, I was sleeping on a bench or somewhere outside of the room. Like,
well, he ain't back yet. We're locking the door.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, adapt and overcome.
Yeah, kids don't have the freedoms today that, or the, you know, irresponsibility that we had.
And it's kind of weird too, because, you know, you think about kids, you know, and their cell phone technology. There's all these things, like, you know, at best, you know, I got a 2-way walkie-talkie that maybe had a range of 50 feet, and, you know,
like, the other thing too in Monster Squad, that they were all on the walkie-talkies that seemed to have, like, and either that's a really small town or that's some damn good walkie-talkies.
Dude, did you see the size of the freaking antenna? I mean, if you
my walkie-talkie would barely make it to the neighbor's house, much less, like, the other side of town.
Yeah, I never had much luck in, you know, greater than, you know, 25 or you know, so feet. So that, or if I had a walkie-talkie, chances are within a couple of hours, the battery had magically fallen out, or it had dropped on the ground and
fallen off your bike and got, yeah, ran over. Yeah, so 1987's Monster Squad, written by and directed by Shane Black, who you know from a little movie called Lethal Weapon, and directed,
what,
by Fred Decker.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, he was that guy who died first in Predator.
Ah, okay.
That guy.
That guy. But, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I mean, I just love, you know, these, you know, coming, what I kind of consider, you know, coming of age. Like, yes, very, you know, focused on the kids as the main characters, but, you know, in very adult, you know, and grown-up perils. And, you know, just that dynamic works. And, you know, I kind of really enjoyed the premise of this entire movie, because I was kind of like the Monster Squad, where, you know, I love paranormal. I love comic books. I loved, you know, horror movies and stuff growing up as a kid. So this, to me, was, like, right up my alley.
Yeah, and like I said, with this movie and when we talk about later Goonies, they wrote the kids' dialogue like kids actually talk. You know? Yeah, sometimes they make them, yeah, now, at least nowadays, make, you know, children's dialogue too childish, but back in 85, you know, we were secretly cussing behind our parents' back, just like these kids do.
And your parents, for the most part, probably knew, which, yeah. I don't know, I almost wonder, you know, like today's society, you know, I feel is much more narcissistic, so I'm wondering, like, parents probably, you know, admittedly know, but they just choose to deny it because it's easier or something. I don't know.
this is when we actually had to go out and see our friends before social media. Yeah, now instead of a monster club in a treehouse, it would be a Facebook group that you never met anyone ever.
Yeah. Well, you know. Hey, everybody, you know, can be their own person behind a keyboard. You know, we can't all be friendly and outgoing.
But the effects in this movie, too, were pretty good for the time. I mean, it was like a reinventing of the classic Universal monsters. So you had Dracula, Wolfman, the Mummy, Frankenstein, pretty much Swamp Thing, but they called him Gill Man.
I kept thinking, is it Swamp Thing or is it Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yeah, I think it was like Creature from the Black Lagoon, but they called him Gill Man in this. Yeah. I guess they didn't have the rights to the Creature from the Black Lagoon. But it was all those classic monsters, but then reimagined by Stan Winston effects. You know, the man who responsible for all the things that scared us as kids. It's in a day before CGI.
Yes. Which was a good time. I mean, and I think that's part of, you know, really what makes this, you know, I mean, you know, these are monsters that, you know, are timeless. I mean, you know, most people today are going to recognize all of those, you know, monsters either from, you know, novels or from other horror films or just, you know, hell, Scooby-Doo, you know. Well,
yeah. I mean, they did have a dog sidekick in this movie. Yes. But yeah, and like the, like I said, the to talk about the effect, the special effects, like the Wolfman's transformation when he goes from, because that was one thing that was cool in this is like, you know, the Wolfman was the monster, but when he was in human form, he kind of regretted his actions and this whole plot to destroy the world and was trying to like warn the cops and everything else, but no one would believe him.
Like, I mean, that to me was probably the one scene that I was like, yeah, I can't foresee that happening. Like if gunshots go off in a police station, like they're not going to be like, man, this guy's crazy. Like, no, either you're getting shot or you're getting locked up. Like,
yeah. Cause he comes in there. He's like, lock me up. And they're like, no, you're crazy. And then he starts like fighting the cops. I'm like, that's pretty much, should have gotten locked up at that point. But then he finally like takes one of their guns and like fires a warning shot. Like, somebody lock me up. And then they light his ass up. But yeah, that transformation later when he's in the, when he manages to get away from Dracula and get to a phone booth and try to call it in and starts that, the transformation. Because the first time he transforms, he's like under a sheet because he's been shot. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, Wolfman's in the back of an ambulance. But like I said, that scene where you actually see the transformation, I mean, that looks as good as anything you see today. I mean, Stan Winston is the man when it comes to practical effects.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, even, I mean, you know, granted there were some, you know, years that passed, but, you know, I kind of think back to, you know, from a werewolf perspective, you know, the one movie that really stands out was The Howling. You know, of course, that was 1981, but, you know, I mean, the transformations in Monster Squad, much better than, you know, what I can remember from The Howling.
It just reminded me of Michael Jackson's Thriller. Except the post-change werewolf looked a lot better.
Yes.
You know, with Michael Jackson's werewolf, he looked like a giant kitty cat.
Go figure.
Yeah.
I just want the children to rub me.
Yeah.
Somebody give me some petting.
Yeah, I mean, you beat me to it.
And everybody now hates us. It's okay, I can do that. I am Michael Jackson, after all. People are like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
Do you still have your Michael Jackson t-shirt? Michael Jackson meets E.T.?
I do. In fact, there's a documentary of Michael Jackson in book form somewhere in the vicinity of
you need to wear the E.T. Michael Jackson shirt to Dragon Con.
I mean, it's the most 80s thing I could think of.
Oh, yeah. There's probably an 80s party around there somewhere. I had to go to the last party in Alderaan where my Darth Vader have to choke a bit shirt.
Man, Dragon Con's coming up later. Now yeah. We're talking about Monster Squad, damn it.
But yeah, the plot of this movie, there is an amulet of pure good that maintains the balance between good and evil, and once every 100 years, it becomes vulnerable and can be destroyed, and if it's destroyed, evil will rule the world. And I love how the opening sequence of Van Helsing, and they're like, it explains this whole thing about, you know, that, you know, it's vulnerable once a year, but, you know, the forces of good can use it to open a portal to Limbo and suck all the monsters out of our reality, and they blew it. This is this whole epic speech, like, yeah, you can do this, and, like, you know, destroy all the monsters, but they fucked it up.
I mean, if they were successful, then we would have no need for Monster Squad. But, you know, I just really like the whole, you know, the actual tie-in of Van Helsing and everything else. And then later on, you know, scary German guy, we actually learn, you know, his true identity. And
yeah, because the main kid, Sean, and was it Patrick? Yeah, they, you know, they're kind of the leaders of the club, and they walk by this house that kind of looks a little shitty. I mean, the everything's like, you know, grown up. There's like this weird German guy looking out the window, and they're like, freaking scary. I mean, it legit like, hey kids, I got a bunch of popsicles.
Well, I mean, it looks like, you know, I was going to ask earlier, you know, now that we're talking about it, was, you know, I can remember, you know, not on our street or anything, but I can remember iconic houses driving by that you always kind of wondered, or, you know, kind of had a little bit of a creep factor. Did you have, you know, any landmarks or any places like that that kind of...
Oh, I don't know, there's, you know, living out in the country, there's always, like, the one, like, abandoned house that you're like, yeah, there's probably dead people in there. You know, if someone's going missing, they're probably in that creepy house.
Like... I don't know. Like, I think about, you know, just, you know, for people local to Georgia listening, you know, may have heard, you know, a Booger Mountain and stuff like that. And, you know, some of those places where, you know, odd things, you know, tend to happen.
Yeah, every small town's got its, like, you know, local urban legends of ghosts and whatnot.
Graboids.
Yeah, graboids. And the other thing I like about... You know, this movie and in Goonies, which it was always like, you know, kind of influenced. It was like they have the one fat kid that eventually has to man up and like saves the day. In this one, it was, you know, Horace, a.k.a. Fat Kid. And like I said, and then, of course, when we get to Goonies, you know, you had Chunk. So as a, you know, young butterball myself at the time, I was like, yeah, I could be the hero.
I mean, I've seen you do a mean truffle shuffle.
If you buy me a drink at Dragon Con, I'll show you a truffle shuffle.
One truffle, one drink. Two drinks, you'll get the shuffle.
Yeah, and then freaking Rudy, the the middle schooler that hangs out with the kids, who's like the... You know he's a badass because he has a leather jacket, but since he's like has to be middle school because the kids are so young, he can't have an actual motorcycle. He just has to ride around on a bicycle with his like switchblade comb and whatnot.
Yep, and his mean photography skills.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the whole like antics where, you know, the kids are like, you know, trying to find a virgin. And
yeah, because they, well, to take it back a couple steps, Sean's mom buys him a book at a like yard sale or something, and it's supposed to be the diary of Van Helsing, but it's all in German. So they finally go to scary German guy, because they're like, well, we know he could probably translate it. He's scary German guy, and like they're standing at like his fence, you know, trying to figure out who's going to go in and like knock on the door. And he's like, I don't know. How do you say, please don't kill me in German? And he like pops up behind him and yes. Says like, please don't kill me in German. And they're like, oh shit. But then he's like, you know, you know, makes them pie. It turns out he's like a Holocaust survivor and
yeah, which I mean,
was probably a soldier. I mean, he had like, you know, B-52 models and stuff in his house, and he turned out to be a legitimate
which was,
good dude.
You know, kind of crazy. You know, I mean, you know, it's, you know, kind of, you know, ironic. You know, where the outside of the house, you know, a lot of maintenance, a lot of upkeep. But you go inside the house, and there's so much history, and it's so pristine, and it's like, wow, talk about stark contrast.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, from the outside, he looks scary, so does his house, and on the inside, he's a good dude, and so is his house. I mean, yeah. it was kind of, you know.
But, I mean, I guess if kind you got a, you cool know, dichotomy. A lot of, you know, memorial or memorable stuff and everything else, you know, that, you know, he has, then, you know what, better way to disguise it and be like, oh, well, there's a dump.
But yeah, then he you know, actually translates the diary for them and tells them the whole story, and they're like, oh shit, 100 years. That was written 100 years ago today. Fuck, this is real. We gotta, like, you know, team up and fight the monsters. But then I like the old man is like, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, he's like, he's down for it. And he's like, I bet you assumed Io 2 was a vampire. And he's like, but if I was a vampire, you would not see my reflection. Like, yeah, good point. He's like, you must, you know, a lot about evil. And he's like, and you see the, like, the whatever the concentration camp tattoo. And he's like, yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, which I thought that was.
Or he's like, you know a lot about monsters. Yes. He's like, yeah, you could say that. Yeah, I'm like, thought that was kind of a cool little bit in there.
I kind of feel like, you know, to get into the Monster Squad, of course, you know, you got to answer a series of questions. There's a lot of Facebook groups now that have kind of moved that way. Like, I always feel like, you know, I'm getting asked, like, you know, a questionnaire to some, like, secret group. Like, it's like, oh, you know, all three, you are now in the initiated.
Yeah, if you want to be in the Monster Squad, you got to know the Monster Test, which was, what's the name of, is Frankenstein the name of the monster or the dude?
Yep.
And it was like, was it,
you know, how do you kill a werewolf? You know,
like,
or
no,
know,
two ways to kill a werewolf. It's like silver bullet. And they're like, and he's like, I don't know. Cut his head off. Nope. Like, well then how? And they're like, shit, we wrote the wrong. He's like, car crash.
You know, or, you know, vampires. And it was, you know, wooden stake and garlic.
But yeah, then the whole, like, you know,
once we find out later on about werewolves, nards.
Yep. That's another class one that anyone who has seen, that's how you find other nerds that have, you're like, they're like, you know, kick them in the nards. And then automatically you're like, Wolfman's got nards. That's another one of the most rememberable scenes is when they go to break into Dracula's house and find the amulet, they get attacked by Wolfman and Fat Kid is trapped, and he's like, kick him in the nards.
Wolfman like, doesn't have nards?
Just do it. He kicks him in the nards. He's like, Wolfman's got nards. It's like, and I think one of my other favorite little skits was the youngest member of the team, Eugene. When he's like, calls his dad, he's like, there's a monster in my closet. And of course the dad's like, yeah, right, whatever.
Yeah, like, and just get out,
monsters. Opens the closet without looking. He's like, ooh, look at the scary monster. And there's literally the mummy is in his closet, but he doesn't turn around and look. He's like, get out of the closet, scary monster. He's like, damn it, Eugene, there's no such thing as monsters. You're going to, like, you know, stop reading those magazines if you wake me up again. It's like the whole time there's like an actual monster in the closet.
That's why you should always, you know, trust but verify.
Yeah. At least give it a peek, you know?
Rule out the, you know, impossibility.
Oh, that reminds me. I read a comic strip today. And it was like one of those short, like, horror stories. And I was like, that was creepy as shit. You know, dad's tucking his daughter in. And she's like, there's a monster in my closet. And he's like, there's no monsters in the closet, but I'll check. Then opens up the closet, and the same little girl is sitting in the closet. And she's like, Daddy, there's a monster in my bed. And you just see the other girl standing behind him, and he's like, oh, shit. I was like, that's legit creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, anytime you involve, you know, kids in that scenario, like, kids are creepy as shit.
Oh, yes. I've gotten scared a couple times now that I have living with some children. So I'm not used to waking up and having someone stare at me in the middle of the night. But I've learned my lesson from watching Monster Squad. If any of the kids come to me and say there's a monster in my closet, I'm grabbing the Glock and I'm clearing the building before, just in case. I don't want to ignore them, and there might be a chupacabra in the closet. You never can tell.
Damn, we're chickens.
Because I know my dog ain't going to do anything. He's scared of his own shadow.
Need to trade it in and get you a fur missile.
Yeah. Some of those Belgian Malinois. Those things are nasty. But yeah, and as you talked about them trying to find a virgin when they go talk to Patrick's sister, and he's like, and they're trying to like figure out how to like properly ask, and he's like, we want to know to what extent you may or may not have been dorked. Yes. Just the 80s like terminology that we'd never use. I mean, like people wearing, you know, hypercolor t-shirts and bogus.
Well, I mean, I can say that, you know, growing up I used the word dork a lot, but it was always, you know, for somebody's, you know, idiocy or something. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like, you know,
getting dorked is a term that I'm not familiar with.
Hey baby, want a dork? Like, I'm already with a dork, you fucking nerd.
I hear that a lot.
It was your choice.
Yeah, and then of course the it's not an 80s movie unless you have an epic montage. So once they decide to fight Dracula, there's a whole gearing up montage of them, like, you know, printing out business cards, the same Monster Squad, and stealing their mom's silver to melt it down to make silver bullets. Because apparently you could do all this shit back in high school.
Well, you know, I was wondering, like, hey, you know, as we're going through and, you know, he's at the lathe, you know, obviously making the stakes, and then, you know, he's melting down the silver into very, very awesome looking, you know, casing, like... What shop class are you taking?
Like, yeah, this is one of those, like, you know, the old, you know, football coach is teaching the class and does not give a shit. He's going to sit in the corner and read his paper. Like, you're making obvious weapons. This would get you, like, arrested nowadays. At least a suspension. But Rudy's, like, you know, and then stealing bow and arrows from the archery class. Yes.
Yeah. Good times.
Which is funny because he makes all those silver bullets and they never, like, don't have access to a gun.
Well, they don't get access to the gun until, like, you know...
Yeah, once the monsters actually start invading.
Actually show up and, you know, one of the police officers, you know, is, you know, down and, you know, they grab the gun and put in, you know, the one silver bullet. And probably the first time firing a gun, gets it dead on. Handgun at all. Beginner's luck. Holy shit.
Oh,
like all the pressure, and I think for me, like, one of the, you know, most iconic scenes is, you know, when, you know, the kid's like writing, like, you know, please send the army, need help. Yes. like that's me. I'm like, send the army. I'm like, all right,
calling the strike force. Yes.
And then after all the shit's over and done with, you know, like, a freaking platoon shows up.
There's like a tank and everything, and they're like, where's the monster? He's like, mummy was in my house. Like, what? But yeah, it's like, must have been a slow war day or something, because they're like, we got a letter from a six-year-old says there's monsters.
But if that's...
We got to go check that out.
If that's the army, we're screwed.
Hey, the general's smoking a cigar when he rolls up, like, we're on monsters. He must mean the Russians. You know, because this was the 80s. But the, was it the... Before he shoots the werewolf, like, when the dad and the kid's fighting the werewolf in the attic of, the sporting goods store, apparently... Yeah, the dynamite in the pants.
Yes.
He's just getting blown to pieces, but wasn't a silver bullet, so he just kind of, like, his little limbs start slowly coming back together. That was another cool, like, effects sequence. And the, speaking of the dad, like, you know, the main kid, Sean's dad, is, like, you know, one of the town cops, And, you know, when he gets the call from Werewolf in Human Form, he's like, they're going to kill your kids. And he goes, like, running home and, like, freaking almost hits Dracula head on, but the car goes, like, invisible. And he's like, that sequence, too, is they're like, we're not telling anyone about this.
Yeah.
But he shows up with the dynamite and blows up the treehouse and takes off to the town square to get the kids. And, like, when he's flying his bat form, and the dad just, like, pulls up and shoots him out of the sky out the when he crashes through the window and he goes up to finish him off, that, like, half-man, half-bat form he was in was, like, scared the shit out of me as a kid. I'm like, that looks disgusting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, actually looking at bat skeletons and stuff like that, you know, and, you know, some of the zoos and stuff, I've been like, that is done so well. Like, yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. And to think that was 30 years ago. What have we done since?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Volume 2.
Oh. Yeah,
But I think that's one of the, you know, talking a little bit about the dad being a cop and everything. I mean, you know, him and his partner, like, it's almost like buddy cop, like, oh, your kid says there's monsters. So, all right, we're going to go chase fucking monsters. Here we go. Like,
oh, that sequence when they get a call to the museum because the mummy's missing.
Yes.
And his partner's just like giving the security. So no one in this building. Nope. So you're telling me the 6,000-year-old dead guy just got up and fucking walked out. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Like, and then you see the mummy just kind of shuffling across the yard. You're like, I guess so.
But I mean, the
mummy. Like, this case is too hard. I quit. Yeah, just making fun of the guy.
You know, the mummy's demise, though, where it grabs on to the Jeep as, you know, the kids have got with the German guy and they're trying to get to town to perform the ceremony. Like, the whole unraveling of the mummy, yes. I thought was awesome. Like,
yeah, the mummy attacks the Jeep and they tie a little bit of his cloth to the arrow and shoot it into a tree. So that right there is probably the most Scooby-Doo-esque of all the scenes in this movie. That is something straight. And even the mummy, right before it like completely unravels, just has this oh shit moment where he kind of looks up like, uh-oh, before it like completely unravels it. And then there's just a skull rolling down the road.
I mean, would you not think, like, I don't know, like, I mean, all right, so we've got the Universal Monsters. Obviously, you know, I want to talk about threat level here. Dracula, big threat. Werewolf, big threat. You know, Creature from the Black Lagoon, what does it actually do, like, besides look creepy and stand
it? It lifts, like, whatever, Frankenstein's coffin out of the water. So he's got some strength to him, but, yeah, he doesn't do a whole lot. And he doesn't, you know, everyone else, like, Dracula, you got to stake him. Freaking werewolf, you got to shoot him with a silver bullet. Gilman, apparently all it takes is some double-aught buckshot. That's all it takes to kill him. And I love that sequence, too, where, like, you know, Horace, a.k.a. Fat Kid, like, you know, sees it and he's trying to run inside and hide, and like the two bullies are like scared shitless, like hiding in the store and they won't open the door. So finally he just picks up the shotgun and blows him away. And then they're like, good job, fat kid. And he finally like, you know, mans up and is like, the name's Horace. Yes. I'm like, fuck yes.
Let's see here. So, you know, the other monster that was a big part of this and we haven't touched on really any is Frankenstein. And Frankenstein just does a complete 180, like, oh, Phoebe's going to befriend me, so now, you know, I'm, you know, supposed to be...
Yeah, Dracula sends him to kill the kids, and like he meets the little girl, but she's, like, not scared of him, and he's like, oh, people don't have pitchforks and torches trying to kill me. Like, it's nice being liked, and yeah. Kind of becomes their friend.
Like, I almost wonder, like, that relationship and that dynamic. Have you seen Fido?
Yes.
You know, that to me, I'm like... Is that kind of a premise, you know, for Fido there, where, you know, we, you know, have befriended the monsters and...
Yeah, and Tom Noonan as Frankenstein, who you may know from RoboCop 2 when we talked about that. But yeah, that was like one of the things where, like, you know, Frankenstein shows up and, like, helps the kids and they teach him to be cool. He's, like, wearing sunglasses and going, bogus. Yeah, and the final scene when they find out their virgin is not a virgin and they have to get the...
What was it? It's like, was He's Tommy, like, but that doesn't count. It's like, oh, it totally counts.
Yeah. So they had to get the little girl to say the magic words, and that, like, when Dracula shows up and just grabs her by, like, the jaw and, like, lifts her up, is like, that is, like, scary as fuck. And then, but of course, you know, Frankenstein shows up and pimp slaps him, and he's like, no, boogies, yeah. Like, freaking chucks him across the room. But yeah, when they do finally blow the portal to limbo and everybody gets sucked up, that, as a kid, that scene where Frankenstein gets, all the monsters get sucked up, and even before, that was probably, like, one of the saddest things as a child, where he's like, they're like, you know, she's holding on to him. She's like, don't go. And he's like, I gotta. And finally she lets him go and, like, throws him her stuffed dog. So he has, like, a little dog to take with him to the to limbo.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I've definitely seen some adults tear up over that. I mean, that's, you know, the monster isn't really the monster.
Nope. And I do like how, as Dracula's trying to kind of finish him off, the Van Helsing appears from limbo and drags his ass to hell with him and gives the kids a thumbs up, like, good job. Y'all didn't blow it.
Way to go, angry German guy. Scary German guy. Not really angry.
Which we never know what his real name is. They refer to him as Scary German Guy throughout, even when he stops being Scary German Guy. They don't change it to Friendly German Guy. It's always like, you know, dude, my name is Steve, you know? It's like, thanks, Scary German Guy. In fact, that's what it's in the credits, is Scary German Guy. Played by Leonardo Kimmen, I believe. But yeah, I mean, this movie, like, did not make a whole lot of money at the box office. I think it was like $3.8 million, but it's one of those that developed, like, a huge cult following once it came out on, like, VHS. I mean, I think it's one that, like, I don't know how many times I rented it back when Turtles and Blockbusters was a thing as a kid. Because it was like, you know, when tapes are still expensive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about timeless films, and I mean, you know, I mean this and Goonies, and I mean, there's so many great movies out there that, you know, don't necessarily have the huge blockbuster success, but, you know, I mean, for me, I can never get tired of this movie.
No. And that brings us to the movie that this is constantly compared to, because it came out 2 years sooner, Goonies, directed by Richard Donner. You may remember from Superman and other movies, but produced by Steven Spielberg, so the budget was a lot higher. This was like a $19 million budget, made around $61 million, and yeah, had legitimate, you know, actor stars in this one, because I'm not sure if the kids from Monster Squad went on to do anything else. I don't, but this one had, you know, Sean Astin playing Mikey, Corey Feldman as Mouth, Jeff Cohen as Chunk, Jonathan Hugh Kwan as Data, and of course Cable himself, Josh Brolin, as the older brother Brand.
Yes.
And the other connection to these movies, the same mom. And the mom in this and the mom in Goonies are in Monster Squad, same lady. So they had a little bit of a connection.
You can draw very stark contrasts between the kids. I mean, you know, I legit had to go back and look and be like, was Sean Austin in, you know, freaking Monster Squad? Because they look so much alike. And then, you know, the personality dynamics are, you know, yeah, very kind of, much, you yeah, know.
They kind of had like a blueprint for the later movie.
Like, I will say, chunk, though, that, you know,
have fat kid.
I mean, I Goonies, I think, with the, you know, I to me felt, you know, much more on the adult overtones, you know, that you don't catch as a kid when you watch the Goonies.
Oh yeah, there's so many little, like, just dirty jokes in that movie that I did not get as a kid, like, especially in the opening sequence where all the kids are hanging out at Mikey's house, and his mom has this, it's whatever, the Statue of David And Data comes, who is like their James Bond wannabe with all the gadgets and stuff. He's like a little Inspector Gadget. Tries to come sliding into the room with a on a zip line and knocks everybody over. And Chunk drops the statue and breaks his dick off. And they're like, oh my God, it's my mom's favorite part.
Yes. Are your kind of... I don't know. I guess there's a couple of different opposing forces, but, you know, I guess the biggest opposing force would be, you know, One-Eyed Willy and his shenanigans. Yes. And all of his booby traps to protect his treasure.
Oh, yes. The One-Eyed Willy is the name of the pirate. And also, you know, they keep saying booby traps, but Data can't pronounce, keep saying booty traps is like the running. It's like, you mean booby traps? That's what I said. Booty traps. Which I saw a guy dress as Data at Dragon Con one year. He even had like the boxing glove that would come out of his jacket. And it was like the best Data cosplay I did see. I was like, that's freaking amazing.
I mean, we actually have our very own Data.
We're gonna dress Anthony up.
Yes.
Oh,
20 years later, where are they now?
Oh, that kid's not old enough to know what that movie Goonies is. Next time we go to the shop, we gotta ask him if he's ever seen Goonies. Because this movie's older than he is.
He's got to have.
Oh, he better have, or he's not allowed to talk to us anymore.
Can we afford to lose any friends?
Probably not.
I don't
not.
Think so.
We don't have that many listeners. But yeah, like, you know,
if we had ratings, they would be in the trash.
We're in the goon docks.
The goon docks. I like it.
Whole movie, these group of kids, they're about to get evicted from their home because, you know, a wealthy developer is trying to buy up all the land and build like a freaking resort or something. So it's like,
gotta have a country club, man.
Yeah. It's their last day in town if they can't pay off the mortgage. And their dad happens to work for the local museum and has some overflow stuff, you know, stored in the attic. And they happen to find a treasure map. And it's time to get all Indiana Jones, being a Spielberg produced movie.
You know, as a kid, like, I can remember, you know, always, like, going to yard sales or antique stores or, you know, like, anytime you found a map, like, you were just like, I'm onto something.
Like, yes.
I'd be like, oh, it's a map of the county. There must be something here.
Oh, and speaking of, like, the weird, dirty jokes, you have freaking Corey Feldman, like, with the pirate wench painting with the tongue cut out of it, sticking his tongue through it, going, ah, come on, give me a kiss. Oh, and then they glue the penis on upside down. They're like, damn it. If we were built that way, we'd be pissing our faces. I mean, it was like, I was like, damn, there's some, like, yeah, good quality jokes I missed when I was a kid.
Where's all the good humor gone?
Oh.
Gotta love our potty humor.
And then we have our bad guys, who is the Fratelli clan, who have broken out of prison and are trying to... Apparently they were counterfeiters because they find like a printing press.
The printing press, yep.
But yeah, yeah.
Look, $50 bill, $50 bill, $50 bill.
Yeah, played by Anna Ramsey as Mama Fratelli, Robert Davey as Jake, and Joey Pants as Francis, who's gone on to be in everything that involves a stereotypical mobster and captain in Bad Boys. Also a big cigar nerd himself. And then, of course, you have John Matuszek playing Sloth.
Yes.
Who was a scary-looking bastard when I was a kid. But, of course, like Frankenstein, he's the monster that turned out to have a heart of gold.
Yep. And it took, you know, took Chunk to bring that out.
Yeah.
All over a baby Ruth.
I mean, you know, fat kids gotta, like, bond over candy. That's what we do. Sloth loves Chunk.
Hey, you guys! probably another one of the most iconic things, you know, from Goonies that, you know, I mean, that's another great nerd call.
Yeah. And, you know, they're sitting there watching, like, when, you know, Chunk gets captured by the kid. They get him tied up with Sloth. And they're watching, like, old TV shows and stuff. And when they finally break out and go chasing after the rest of the kids who are being pursued by the... When they show up to save them, Sloth just rips open his shirt and has the Superman T-shirt. Just like...
Yes.
Just like the cartoons and stuff they were watching. And, you know, starts, you know, smacking his family around. But, yeah, I mean... The set of that of Goonies too, just like going through the tunnels and all the booby traps and the skeletons and whatnot. That movie was like, you know, they spent a lot on the set. Cause
well, I mean, it looked awesome. You know, stark contrast. What Indiana Jones? You know, I mean, it's I want that like. Can there be, like, a replica, like, where you actually get to, like, run through the tunnels with the traps and, like, can Disney World or, like, you know, somewhere get us a like, Goonies land? Like,
yeah.
I'm really excited for Star Wars land and everything, but as an, like, dude, that could almost be, like, you know, an adult throwback, like, Ninja Warrior.
Like, it's kind of like a, how was it? They have like a Indiana Jones-esque thing down at Atlantis in the Bahamas. It's called The Dig. I'm like, that sounds like some Goonies stuff. I may have to go tour that. but yeah, the and like not only is it, you know, great comedy and like adventure stuff, there's moments of like very serious stuff, like, you know, Mikey has the whole speech, you know, when they're, you know, when the girls and everybody wants to give up, and he's like, you know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's definitely, like, you know, a freaking motivational, you know, speech there of, you know, no, we're Goonies, you know, we have to do this.
Like, yeah, like, if we go upstairs, like, we can ride this, you know, bucket to safety, but we'll never, this will be the last time we're together. You know, tomorrow night we'll be in a different town, you know, and there's so much going on, you know, but up there it's our parents' time and they can't deal with what's going on. But down here it's our time. This is our time to like man up and save the day. And then even like, when they find themselves in the bottom of a wishing well, which, you know, and like
nobody wants in Troy's bucket
and they're picking up the quarters and stuff. And they're like, no, you can't take that money. Cause that's somebody's wishes. And Mouth is like, well, I'm taking this one back. This one was my wish, and it didn't come true because we're losing our house. I'm losing my friend. So, you know, fuck this witch. I'm taking my quarterback. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, those overtones there are, you know, spot on. I mean, you know, and I think that's, you know, I don't know, probably, you know, one of the greatest, like, you know, heartfelt moments of the film is, like, you know, taking that chance, taking that gamble, and you know what? Time is limited, you know, either act on it or, you know, whatever.
Oh, and the I love the sequence of Sloth, the Chunk, when they're trying to question him, and he tries to call the cops, but he's like, he's, you know, the town liar, and no one believes him. He's like, I've been captured by the Fratellis. And they're like, is this like the time the, you know, Nazis invaded the summer camp or aliens was at the zoo? Yeah. And they're like, he's like, no, I'm serious this time. They're like, yeah, whatever.
But I think, you know, once the phone line goes silent, then it's like, all right, there may be some.
Yeah, we made a good check this out.
Yeah.
But yeah, when they're questioning him and threatening to like cut his hand off with the blender, and they're like, tell us everything. And he starts going through confessing every bad thing he's ever did. And he's like, this one time I was in a movie theater and I had some fake vomit and I threw it over the railing and I went, ugh! And then all of a sudden everyone below me started getting sick and puking on everybody. It was I felt so bad. And they're just like, I'm starting to like this kid.
He's yeah.
Dark.
It's like, if we had known all that before, you could be a henchman.
Yeah. When he finds the freezer and goes in there, he's like, all this ice cream, and then, like, the dead body falls out. Like, as a kid, you're like, oh, shit. And then the sequence where they're trying to get help and start banging on all the sewer pipes, and the pipes all start backflow and everything. And that scene was like guy goes to get the water and the freaking water fountain goes to the ground, comes back up, and finally pops him in the face and knocks him out. And then, like, the one, like, asshole rich kid in the town, Troy, is, like, trying to take a deuce, and the toilet explodes. Yes. You're like, yes, fuck that guy.
Yeah, not a guy that you want to be cruising down the, you know, street on your pink tricycle.
Yes. Oh, yeah, probably one of, one of his first action sequences where, you know, the kids flatten his tires and, you know, and tie him to a chair because he's going to prevent them from getting into shenanigans. So he has to steal a little girl's bike to go find the kids because he's failed his driving test. They're like, we were going to have so much fun this summer and somebody failed their driving test. So Troy grabs him and holds onto his hand and, like, kicks it up to 80 on a freaking... the friggin' whatever training wheels go flying all, and he just like launches. I'm like, that's like some ET shit. You were just waiting for him to go in front of the moon as he launched off the hill.
I don't think there was a basket on the bike though, so I mean it wouldn't have worked in, you know, ET's favor. But I don't know, you know, the other part that I really liked is, you know, obviously, you know, Andy and you know, has a little thing. She's the head cheerleader, and
played,
you
know, by Cary Grant.
Yeah, like the whole scene where, like, she's like, "All right, you know what? I'm gonna make a move," and, you know, freaking thinks that she's pulling
Brand.
Yeah, Brand. You know, back there, but it ends up being Mikey. And it's like, does Brand have braces?
Oh, yeah. And she's telling her friend, she's like, did you have your eyes? I said, yeah, well, next time you want to open your eyes, it's a whole different world. And she's like, watch out, there must be a hole back here, because I think Brand was standing in it, because it seemed shorter. Yes. Because that was another thing, too. They, you know, get around, and they're in the whole cave system, and they're like, we got to use the bathroom. And Mikey's like, all right, you know, down that cave is girl's room, down this one is little boy's room. And then Brand starts walking, and they're like, where are you going? Men's room. And all the kids like, yeah, Mikey, we're going to the men's room.
Which is weird. Like, as a guy, like, usually, like, if I have a choice, I don't really want to huddle with a whole bunch of other dudes. It's like we got a big, vast cave system.
but as a guy, as a child, peeing outdoors is one of the highlights of your existence.
I mean, it's the greatest freedom.
Getting a chance to pee on a tree or the neighbor's cat is something you don't pass up as a kid.
Poor kitty.
But when you see them playing with it later on, you're like, yeah, I'm going now.
Yeah, you are.
And then there's that great sequence when they're when they first get to the pirate ship. They go down this epic water slide thing into this big lake. And it's like a practical effect. You know, they literally built a giant pirate ship in this cave set with a lake, and from what I read of the making of, like, Donner like specifically kept the kids away from that set, so the reaction you see on their faces when they come up out of the water and see the full-size pirate ship, that was like real reactions. Yeah. From the actors, because he's like, I don't want you seeing this until you see it, and they're like, holy, just this look of awe and amazement on their faces is like, it's completely, I mean, it makes that whole scene.
I really want to go down that water slide, though. Yeah. Like, I was like, what water park is this?
Yeah, no doubt. That was like awesome.
Like, you know, I mean, like, I guess Whitewater has like, what, the Treehouse Island or something? Like, can we get like Pirate Ship Island or something, you know?
Oh, that'd be awesome. And then when they get on the pirate ship, all the, like, murdered pirates, like, there's the one guy slumped over the steering wheel, and they pull him back, and he has two daggers in his eyes. It was one of, like, just shocking sequence in them when I was a kid. And when they eventually find, you know, the treasure room, and there's One-Eyed Willie, and, you know, Mikey has that whole, like, conversation with Willie. Was like, you said, you know, like I said, it was all fun and games, and then they would have these serious, like, character building moments that was kind of, for a movie that was supposedly a kid's movie, it had some, like, you know, for young guys, those were, you could see how they became like the bigger actors that they are today.
Well, and I mean, I think that's the reason why so many families, like, I mean, really, this is, you know, both Monster Squad and Goonies are one that you sit down as a family and, you know, the kids will, you know, see it for what it is through one perspective. Adults, you know, are reminiscing and seeing it from a whole different perspective. So, I mean, you know, it, once again, it just really equates to, you know, how timeless and impactful these films really are.
Yeah, I mean, you're not doing your job if you, there's a certain, like, classic movies that you need to, like, pass on to the next generation. This is one of the ones that you have to, you know, make sure your kids see at some point, because it's, you know, it's kind of like showing them Star Wars when they're old enough. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you got to keep it alive, and it's one of those movies I hope never gets a freaking reboot. It's one of those that's almost like too classic that they're like, no, there's no fucking way y'all are ever, if you could, adult sequel where it's now it's like Mikey's kids going on an adventure, that possible, but yeah, no way. They should never reboot this freaking movie.
No, and I don't think they will. I mean, you know, there's too much of a cult classic following here. I mean,
yeah, and when they do finally make it out of the cave and they're on the beach and there's a little cameo by the director. You know, the two cops that show up on four wheelers. He's one of the Richard Donner's one of the two cops. They're like, oh, we found him.
Yes. Actually, they found us. They weren't here a second ago. Where did they come from? But I mean, that's you know, to me, that was, you know, just really awesome was, you know, where, you know, at the end of the film, you just see the ship, you know, upright and, you know, resurface and everything else. And you can see it, you know, for what it really is.
Yeah. And that just sailing off on its next ghost adventure. I'd be like, somebody get me a speedboat. I got to go chase that thing down. It's full of gold. Yeah. Let's get it before it sinks. That thing's old. It's not probably not going to last very long when you get all the jewels out of it. And all that too, and the the Mexican house cleaner that they get. Speaking of adult humor that I really didn't get as a kid, you know, they since they're moving, the mom,
it's like, does somebody speak Spanish? Yes, I speak, you know, fluent Spanish.
Yeah, so the mom has broken her arm, and so she hired this lady to help her pack and clean, and gets Mouth to translate for, and Mouth is saying some of the most disgusting stuff. He's like, it's like, this is the room where the father keeps all his sex toys and slave devices. You must never go in there. And it's like, yeah, tell her, you know, underwear's in this drawer. That he's like, this drawer is the marijuana. This drawer is the coke. This is the heroin. Make sure you get them right, or we'll lock you in the pantry for 2 weeks with no food. It's like totally like it's this, like, lady's like, what the fuck have, yeah, I gotten into?
Like, I think the like subtitle is like, this is a weird family.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, that's like,
I talking about Data crashing through the front door. Like, I think it's, you know, the mom gets home like, Data, from now on, please use the back door.
Yes.
And like, you know, that's not the first time that's happened.
Yeah, and like all their little, like, you know, inventing devices, that not just the stuff Data has, but, you know, they have the whole, like,
his father at the end of the movie where, you know, he's got the, instead of the punching,
he's got like a camera thing that pops out of his, they're like the same guy. And then they have the, you know, Mikey has the whole, like, Rube Goldberg device to open up the the gate, which you could probably just reach over, unlock, and open it yourself. But,
yes,
you know, you got to build this giant, like, yeah. And they never reset it. It's like, it's just going to stay open. We'll reset
Chuck's
it tomorrow.
Chuck's already in the house at that point. Yeah. You know, I mean, who are you keeping out?
Oh. And I just love how they, like, assume he's going to bring, you know, Mikey finds the framed a map or whatever, and he's like, hey, Chunk, hold this for a second. He's like, yeah, sure, Mikey. He just keeps talking. He's like, 5, 4, 3, 2, and then he drops in. It's like, he's known as, like, the clumsy one of the group. It's like, if something's gonna get, like, I don't want to get in trouble for breaking this. Here, hold this, Chunk. Yeah. But as we wrap up our trip down nostalgia lane, any particular favorite moments or favorite characters from either of these films?
All the ones that we talked about? let's see here. From Monster Squad, I think for me, you know, Brand was always kind of the character that, you know.
Goonies.
From Goonies?
Yeah, Brand's not in Goonies. Or no, Monster Squad.
Yep. Let's see here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. From Monster Squad. You know, I'm going to... I don't know. I think maybe Sean, you know, is kind of the person that, you know, I would have saw myself, you know, where it's fun in games, but there's always a drive to go a little bit further. And then, yeah. You know, when shit kind of hits the fan, somebody has to, step up and, you know, become, you know, that leader and, you know, help motivate folks. That's kind of how I've seen, you know, myself. So that's probably the person I relate to more in Monster Squad.
In Monster Squad, I always love the character of the dad. And so there's two, speaking of, like, you know, Goonies sneaking in the little serious moments, you know, the parents in Monster Squad are, like, pretty much about to get divorced. You see when Dracula shows up to blow up the kid's house, you know, and the dad runs in looking for the kids. Like, there's packed suitcases in the hallway. The mom was about to leave him, you know, when all this shit went down. I mean, it's just those, like, little things you don't notice, serious things you don't notice as a kid that, like, going back now watching it, like, oh, there was some shit going on here.
Well, I mean, you knew it from, you know, like, the fighting and stuff like that, you know, where, and I mean, you see it with, you know, Phoebe, where she's talking to the mom and, you know, she's, you know, telling something that Shauna did to her or something. And, you know, she goes to leave the room and she's like, you know, are you going to go yell at him? And she's like, honey, I love your father. And she's like, no, I meant Sean. You know?
Oh, and then, like, you know, Goonie, like I said, Chunk and Fat Kid both. I'm like, I kind of identified with them. I wanted to be the Rudy character, but... But yeah, you know, and eventually, you know, I became the once you get to a certain, you're like, I'm not getting bullied anymore. I'm gonna kick the shit out of the first person that picks on me. But you, like, you know, Horace and Chunk, you know, you had to have that, you know, coming of age moment and learn to become the hero. I mean, yep. It's one of the things. It's like, you know, you start off as the butt of the jokes, and you know, you man up along the way. So as we kind of wrap this up, any final thoughts on the Hex? Did it put a curse on you, or are you enjoying it?
You know what? I don't feel like you know, it has put a curse on me. You know, it's interesting. You know, I mean, I get hints of coffee and black pepper. You know, it's. I would say, you know, more toward the full side, maybe medium full.
And it kind of stays consistent throughout, too. It's
the flavor profile really didn't, you know, change a whole lot. I mean, it's kept me entertained. The size of this, you know, originally, you know, unfortunately we could only get it in one size, and I was like, man, this is going to be a short smoke, but, you know, surprisingly, it's lasted quite a while.
Yeah, it's a nice, it's been out for, I think it originally came out in like 2013, so it's, you know, it's got some, been around a while, and it's you know, a solid cigar. It's one of those, yeah, I have one every once in a while, but it's never, you know, disappointed. It's not like, you know, super powerhouse, but it has some strength and some spice to it. And you know,
yeah, I mean, it's not one of those that's like overpowering or anything. It has, I guess, you know, strength wise, medium full, body medium full. But at no point was it overpowering.
No. And with that, we'll be right back.
We're the Monster Squad.
Gotta get up. Gotta get up. Gotta get up. 100 years in the darkest. darkest night. The forces of evil come out to fight. The amulet they must destroy, or stand forever in the darkest void. Who can stop that deadly might? Or who will stand up for the right? From the mouth of babes comes dynamite. The monster squad going to do tonight. First came Dracula, now the Wolfman too. The mummy and the gummer swimming in the pool. We need silver bullets, we need wooden sticks. Normal stuff won't stop them because they live on hate. Speak some magic words from a virgin's lips. Baby, that'll shake them, make them slip and trip. There's no turning back, gotta fight the fight. Yeah, the monster squad going to jam tonight.
Hey man, it's almost that time.
What time is it?
Beer 30.
The Booze Hounds return.
And welcome back to the podcast. It's time for Beer 30. So what are we sipping on this week, Brad?
This week we've got a beer from RJ Rocker's Brewery called Witty Twister.
Yeah, dude, like a good witty twister.
So, you know, I thought that this beer was appropriate since we've, you know, talked about, you know, some hidden adult humor. So I found some humor in the fact that, you know, a little play on the old adage, titty twister. You might have understood those back in the day. What about it?
Sure. Yes, this is a interpretation of their traditional Belgian wheat beer. It's brewed with a generous portion of wheat and spiced with coriander and orange peel. It's a little bit, yeah, it's a good, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up the summer, it's a good summer.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, beer. Obviously you're going to have some fruity notes, you know, that, you know, for me, you know, this beer isn't very, you know, hoppy or anything. Comes in at 15 IBUs, you know, relatively low on the ABV spectrum, especially for us, you know, coming in only at 4.7%. So, you know, this is right there, you know, about where Guinness is. You know, if you, I was kind of to compare ABV levels. But, I mean, you know, very light, very, you know, easy to drink.
Yeah, very citrusy. I mean, I may replace my breakfast orange juice with just one of these in the morning, start the day off.
You know, I'm not getting too much of the... I get the coriander more than I'm getting anything as of right now. I mean, presentation, everything's just, you know, all around very good beer here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, we and as we start getting into the fall and winter months, you know, we go back to our normal, you know, winter stouts and, you know, good imperial strong beers to keep you warm and on the cold nights. But yeah, this is a nice refreshing, you know, summer beer.
You've got, you know, I mean, I keep hearing folks talk about, you know, the end of summer, maybe the calendar year of summer, but I
it's
mean,
still
we,
hot as fuck.
Yeah, we stay hot here in Georgia up until, you know, sometimes even into October. So, I mean.
Yeah, so, as someone who has been inside Netherworld in October and sweated his ass off, it's still hot most nights in October. There's no real winter around here until, like, January.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember a couple of off years where, you know. But, I mean, hell, there's been even times I remember in November and it's still being, you know, 70 degrees and you're wearing shorts. So, you know, for me, summer is definitely not over.
No.
But, you know, all around, I think I'm at a 4 on the Witty Twister.
Yeah.
Just a fun word to say.
Kind of like an ass blaster. Yeah, I'm down for the Witty Twister. It's a pretty good beer.
And if you want to catch that reference, make sure you listen to the previous episode.
And with that, we'll be right back.
Power Rangers in my bed. There's a brain slug on my head. Think my costume might be ruined. Don't remember this tattoo. I think I'm still seeing stars. Jedi's passed out in the hall. Think I need a Doctor Who. Is that a Trekkie or a
sure.
This Dragon Con. Yeah, and we're back. We're kind of doing an update to our annual Dragon Con survival suggestions.
Is there really an update or suggestion?
It's mainly the same thing, but as Stan Lee says, every comic book, someone's first comic
book. Hey, has the app been updated yet?
No. That's the first thing. Apps have not been updated yet. Sometimes it's not updated till the day before Dragon Con. Just be patient. It will happen. And as we all know from the Dragon Con groups, anytime someone asks, is the update been happened yet? Drink.
Is there drinking allowed at Dragon Con?
Yes, lots of it. First off, let's talk about where we're going to be at that we know of so far, because our interview responses haven't come in yet, so we don't know who we're talking to or what, but we will be once
we're
again...
We're on hold like everybody else for Dragon Con. Yeah.
Once again, we'll be attending as, you know, media. One of the places we're going to be is the Red Phone Booth on Thursday. Anyone's coming into town starting at 7:30. There's the annual Dragon Con Cigar Group meetup, and you can find that group on Facebook in the event page. It will tell you how to get into the Red Phone Booth, because it's a cool little speakeasy bar where you need a... Yeah, there's a secret passageway and a code you got to type in and a phone booth behind Hooters. Which sounds like a trap, but no, seriously, there's a phone booth behind Hooters. Go in there, and the bar's behind the phone booth.
Iconically, it's painted red.
Yes.
Irony!
So that'll be our first official appearance of the weekend. We'll be there hanging out if you want to come have a cigar or a beer with us. You know, we can attest that
or
the drinks there
are... Or any fine spirit, for that matter.
Are on
I'm
point.
Going to say as far as mixed drinks, cocktails, anything else... They put most other bars to shame. Like,
yes. And yeah, I mean, freaking old fashioned. Hell, we even had Absinthe there last year. I mean, it's a cool little bar, and they have a you know, walk in humidor, and you know, if you're some of the first people in the door, you can get your Dragon Con Cigar Group ribbon to show you.
In fact,
were
I thought
there.
Too that you know, they were going to be, you know, for like the first 40 guests or something.
Yeah, they apparently have gotten like two boxes of Rocky Patel vintage 1990s that they're going to be giving away to the first 40 people through the door that's with the cigar group, and get your first smoke of the night on the house. Also, the annual ESO meet and greet is also on Thursday night at the 21 Stories Bar in the Hyatt. So that starts at 10 o'clock, depending on how drunk we get at the first meetup, we may make an appearance at that one as well eventually. But all the other ESO, fine ESO network shows will be there hanging out, come by, meet the mics. And everyone else on the network, say howdy to Mike Gordon and have yourself a bucket of rum at the Hyatt Bar.
Yeah, buckets of rum.
Uh-huh. So, Dragon Con. Got anything new and interesting you've heard through the grapevine? Because, you know, we've already talked about the app. You know, especially if you're a newbie. Once that app comes live, download it. That is your Bible for the weekend, because not only does it have all the schedules and you can program the panels you want to see, but then there's also the very helpful maps of all the hotels and the downtown footprint. So when you find out you want to go to something that's, you know, in the Athens room of the Sheraton, it'll tell you how to get there.
Yeah, so that's really beneficial. I mean, you know, and keep in mind, I mean, you know, it's projected, what, 80,000 people over
That's
the course
saying,
of the weekend?
It was like 70-something last year. It always goes up there.
So, I mean, you know, cell service, you know, gets splotchy and, you know, conglomerated, you know, with everybody trying to access. But, you know, one of the things I found is, you know, a lot of the Dragon Con groups, especially the official page, was... you know, a, you know, kind of a big help, you know, as far as organizing meetups or, you know, that type of thing. So, in addition to the app, I found, you know, the social media, you know, outlets to be
yeah.
a big help as well.
And as always, since, you know, there's so many of us down there, internet service can be spotty at best. So, you know, the app's also helpful kind of pre-planning your con. I would suggest either taking the pocket program or just, you know, when you make up your schedule in the app, write down some highlights of stuff you definitely want to hit just in case your phone's dead or the internet's down, you can't get to the app when you need it. You know, have a backup.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the strategies that I heard, and you know, this really speaks true, especially, you know, as big as Dragon Con is growing, is, you know, write down everything that you want to do, then write down what you absolutely want to do, and then write down half of what you absolutely cannot miss of that list, and plan on doing about half of that. Go in with that expectation, and you won't be disappointed, you know.
And, yeah, because if you show up to see something and it's full, if you've got three other options, you can always change plans on the fly if you didn't get to that John Barrowman panel early enough.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, unfortunately, like, some of the only real, like, you know, complaints I've heard from people is, you know, make sure that you leave ample time to get from point A to point B, you know, especially if you're in
anyone who's costume. Driven in Atlanta knows how traffic is. The foot traffic is just as bad as Atlanta traffic during Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, so make sure that you're, you know, I mean, you know, if it's a big celebrity panel, you probably want to anticipate getting there 90 minutes, you know, yeah, ahead of time. And, you know, that may conflict with some other panels and stuff. I mean, for me personally, I don't really get involved in the panels anymore. You know, for me, it's all about, you know, meeting folks, people watching, and, you know, just intermingling with folks. I mean, this is 80,000 of your closest friends that share all kinds of your same fandoms, geekdoms,
and don't
whatever.
Be afraid to go into a panel you didn't plan on. I mean, if, you know, the main thing you're wanting to sold out, look around and see what else. You know, there's been several times we've just wandered into a random panel because, like, hey, there's not a big line, and I want to sit down for an hour, and found some really cool stuff that we hadn't planned on seeing to begin with. And, you know, as always, there's, especially with a lot of the hotel, construction and whatnot, things kind of get moved around. I know last year there was a rumor that registration was going to be moving out of the Sheraton, but apparently that's no longer the plan. So the place you've been showing up for the last, I don't know how many years to get your badges, is still the place you go get your badges.
Yeah, and this year they're actually doing something a little bit different, speaking of badges, too, because now there's the Thursday only badge, which is like $10.
Thursday has kind of always been the unofficial day. You show up, you get your badges. There's a lot of parties and meetups going on, like the ones we're going to. But this is the first year that there's actually going to be some programming on Thursday, and even a couple panels Thursday night. So if you want to just come down Thursday for the meet and greets and parties, there's a badge just for that. So, you know, if you can't make the whole weekend, you know, because I know wrestling is the big thing. It's on Thursday night, and there's a few other official events going on now. So, like, you know, it gets bigger every year. And also, last year there was a few panels that were been moved to America's Mart, and this year America's Mart 2 is just vendor halls and artist alley. There's no more panels in that building, because that was kind of a cluster last year. Because half the time
it
didn't
seem like security, you know, and it wasn't
Dragon Con security. It was America's Mart security. Like, didn't know things were going on, so you'd show up for a panel and they'd turn you away because they think the building's closed. So our buddy Dr. Q, who does the alternate history track, they've moved them over to the Sheraton, and he's got a lot of events planned over there, including a Victorian pool party one night. So check out the alternate history track for details on that. And also the comics and art, any of the panels that goes with the comics and artist stuff has been moved over to the Westin. So they're also, the Artist Alley is still in America's Mart, but the Westin is now going to be the home for all their panels, so it's going to be a little bit easier to get to. You don't have to deal with any of the America's Mart shenanigans if you don't want to. And, of course, gaming is still in America's Mart 1, so if you're looking for people in the bottom of basement of the Hilton this year, you're not going to find them. They're in America's Mart.
Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, gaming is always a big aspect, and always enjoy, you know, perusing, learning about new games, or, you know, just sitting around playing a game of Magic or something, you know. Once again, you know, something to kind of, hey, I need to take a little bit of a break, rehydrate.
And socialize. You get to meet new people sitting around a game. I want to play the MechWarrior game. I didn't get a chance to last year. That's one of my favorite things, is that freaking MechWarrior game they have every year. Another new thing that's popped up this year is if anyone's ever paid for the photo ops, it's always been, was it Froggy Studios or something? Well, there's a new photo vendor this year. It's epicphotoops.com. So, I mean, we still got a couple weeks to the con. So if you want to get that picture with John Barrowman, you know, you go to epicphotoops.com and they have a listing of everyone who's going to be doing the photo ops and how much it costs. And you can sign up for a time to get that done. And looking at the list now, you know, it's actually very reasonable price. I mean, it looks like most of them's in the $40 to $60 range with two or three of the big, big celebrity guests touching that, you know, $100 range. Then they also have, like, you know, if you want to kind of combine, like, you want a picture of, you know, the bad guys from Legends of Tomorrow, they're going to have group photo sessions too, where you can get, you know, multiple celebrities in one, you know, one photo. Maybe, you know, save a little money that way instead of buying individual photo options.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Options are good.
Yeah, I kind of want to get the picture of with Mario dressed as Mario. I mean, yes. That might have to be a thing.
That should absolutely be a thing.
Oh. But yeah, that's going to be new for this year, so check them out. So as far as Con Survival 101, what are some of the important things to for a newbie that, you know, not the bitter veterans that we are?
Eat, sleep, stay hydrated, and, you know, have realistic expectation and, you know, keep an open mind because, you know, there's so much. Like, you know, oftentimes, like, you can, you know, you see or hear about folks, and Dragon Con can be absolutely overwhelming because folks are like, oh, I'm used to going to cons, and, you know, there's a couple of thousand people. You know, here yeah. is, you know, 4 days with 80,000 people. It is massive.
Yeah, with all the different programming tracks, which, you know, that's what they call them, tracks. They have certain rooms dedicated to certain fandoms. So it's in reality, instead of going to one con, you're actually going to about 70 cons all in one location. So there really is something for everybody. So if you have the plan that I'm going to see all the things, just go ahead and give up on that plan, because there is too many things to see all the things, and you're going to get overwhelmed and panic. Just see what you can see and enjoy. Don't forget to enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. And you know, I mean, I've seen, you know, so many people like, you know, hey, I'm going to do everything. Or, you know, they're used to, well, most cons wind down at 10 o'clock and then the after. No, Dragon Con is pretty much 24 hours. There is something to
going
do.
On no matter when you're open.
Yes.
And with that, I'm buying shoes before con, because having proper footwear is key. Because I think last year I looked at my tracking app at one point.
Oh, we clock like 26 miles a day.
Yeah, and like I said, so having comfortable shoes is probably one of my number one suggestion. And if you're a hardcore cosplayer and your Nike shoes don't go with your epic Wonder Woman cosplay, do yourself a favor, go buy some really good shoe inserts. So, you know, even if you're going to wear some kind of fancy boot or whatnot for your costume, if you have some extra cushioning in there, it's gonna make it a better night. I guarantee.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I can definitely vouch for the footwear aspect of things. And you know, if you're buying new shoes, a lot of people have this, you know, misconception that, oh, well, the shoes are uncomfortable at first and they need to be broken in. If yeah, they're not
don't break them in at con.
Well,
beforehand.
I would even caution folks that if it's uncomfortable when you put it on, no matter, you know, the breaking in, something there is going to make you uncomfortable. And, you know, after, you know, let's say you don't hit the 26 miles, you know, because we, I mean, we're all over the place at any given moment. But absolutely, you want to protect your feet. The other thing is, it's Georgia, it's September, it's hot, it's humid, so, you know, keep that in mind as well. You know, I know people talk about, well, you know, well, there's dry heat, there's humid heat, doesn't matter, it's going to be hot.
Yes.
You are packed in like sardines in a lot of instances, and,
yes.
You know, so that brings us to the next thing is, Axe body spray and perfume does not, you know, substitute proper showers.
Yes, get at least one a day. So your fellow congoers will thank you.
You know, I you know, what is it? The, you know, kind of at the bare minimum, you know, 3 hours sleep, 2 meals per day, 1 shower per day.
So that's like bare minimum.
that's bare minimum. You know, I think it's actually recommended, you know, 5 hours of sleep, you know.
Yeah, and hydration. Like I said, one of the suggestions, I bought a small little sling bag just so I can kind of put together a Dragon Con survival pack. You know, a couple bottles of water, some protein bars, just stuff to keep because there's so many things going on. It's hard to get in anywhere to eat at times. And, you know, everyone is selling expensive sodas and whatnot. You know, like I said, so having a couple bottles of water and some emergency food on you will help you power through till you can actually sit down and have a meal at some point. And you know, you can always, there's plenty of water fountains in the hotels. You can always refill your water bottles and save you a little money instead of having to buy a drink every time you get thirsty, especially if you're participating in the parade on Saturday. That's a long walk in the hot sun, or even if you're watching it, it's a, you know, a good hour out in the hot sun. So you want to, yeah, especially if you're consuming alcohol throughout the weekend, you want to hydrate as much as possible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, hydration is key. You know, pie can only hydrate you so much. You cannot survive the weekend on pie alone.
We've tried. It hurt.
It may taste like food. It may make you feel really good. But eventually that really good feeling gives off to something evil. And you're like,
and also, you know, if you are a cosplayer and you don't have the pocket space to carry around a Dragon Con survival group, it's always good to have a friend with you that is not in costume that can carry those items for you. And, you know, especially if you're in something big where you can't see a lot, it's good to have someone unobstructed view that can kind of look out for you and keep you hydrated when you need be.
Yeah, and that kind of brings us into, you know, just general etiquette. And it's always weird to me that we have to have these discussions about etiquette and that type of thing. I'm like, do people not know how to just not be assholes in general? But I guess some people don't. So, you know, if you're looking for, you know, to take a picture or whatever, just go ahead, be polite, ask beforehand. Most people are absolutely, you know, thrilled and excited and, you know, yeah, will give you that opportunity. You know, the last thing you want to do is, you know, catch somebody that is, you know, on a time constraint themselves trying to get to a particular place or, you know, just be that weird guy, yeah, you know.
And or if you're one of those people that are posing for photos and people are like, hey, can we get your photo? Step out of the flow of traffic. Don't, like, cause a traffic jam in the, you know, habit trail or something, you know. Say, yeah, cool, let's move over here to the side of the room and we can get that photo for you instead of stopping right in the middle of the walkway and causing a huge clusterfuck.
Yes.
And, you know, as they say, you know, cosplay is not consent. Don't be the pervy asshole hitting on the slave Leias. You know, be nice to everyone and everyone will be nice to you.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
And also, the elevators. We all know the huge hassle is getting in and out of the elevators.
What goes down will go up.
Yes. But, you know, if so, you know, there's, you know, a lot of people that are, you know, in wheelchairs, walkers, canes, whatever. If you see someone that has some kind of, you know, disability, you know, you can sit there and wait for extra time on for an elevator. You know, it takes a lot of room to get a wheelchair in one of these elevators. Step off and let someone else on an elevator if you see someone in need to get where they're going. Because they can't take the stairs like we can. Yeah, so, you know, be courteous on the elevator. Or if you see a family of people, like, you know, you know, let them on the elevators. You know, you can wait till the next one comes by. I it's just a little bit of a common courtesy. We're 80,000 people in, you know, a couple square blocks. We have to, you know, get along.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I will say that by and large, you know, I personally can't recall any issues, you know, in all of my years attending Dragon Con.
No.
You know,
short of like the occasional drunk passing out or heat stroke during the parade, there's never really any like major incidents at Dragon Con. It's probably one of the safest conventions I've been to.
So, you know, outside of that, you know, dress for comfort. That's always my big, you know, fallback is, you know, therefore, while I was, you know, kind of into the whole costuming and everything else, now it's, I may do one, maybe two simple costumes. The rest of the time, best believe I'm going to be as comfortably dressed as possible.
I'm
going to
be dressed as a podcaster most of the weekend.
Yes.
And also, it is your first time. You know, you see online all the amazing cosplays. It's not required. I mean, you can still come in your Star Wars t-shirts and have a good time. I mean, there's just as many people not dressed up as there are dressed up. So don't feel intimidated that this is your first con and you want to, you know, get all the way dressed up. You know, it's not a requirement. You can still come and have fun just like everybody else.
Do like, you know, most of the professional cosplayers and, you know, hey, I've got all year to put this together. And, you know, then a week before Dragon Con, your costume starts getting worked on. That's always the thing. It's so far away, but, you know, time always flies by. And next thing you know, oh, it's here and I'm not ready again.
And also, speaking of basic survival needs, food and alcohol are expensive at con. Bring it from pack, you know, even if it's just some peanut butter and some bread, you know, it's
we
a lot
still
easier
got
than
some peanut butter and jam left over from last con.
Yeah,
it's good until 2019.
Bring in your own snacks and drinks. We'll save you some money, and it'll also save you in line standing in line at the Petrie Center food court where everyone tries to go eat and it's insanely crowded. So, you know, if you need an emergency food supply, like, bring your own. It'll save you time and money.
I mean, I think that pretty well covers, you know, I think you're going to survive on this advice.
And don't be afraid to, like, you know, if you are one of these first-year people, don't be afraid to stop and ask questions. I mean,
and most, in fact, there's the newbies tour.
Yeah,
you know.
I believe it's Thursday they have those. You can find them on the, you know, Dragon Con Facebook group or wherever there's usually that tour. That's one of the reasons why I always like getting there Thursday before they had official events was it gave me a chance to get my badge early where I wasn't waiting in that giant line on Friday morning and get a chance to just walk the hotels and kind of get a lay of the land so you generally have an idea of where things are once you start trying to venture out over the weekend and get to panels and whatnot.
Yeah, I think that's definitely good advice because, I mean, you know, there's always construction or, you know, subtle changes to stuff. And sometimes the changes, unfortunately, don't happen until the very last minute. So, you know, keep up to date on your Dragon Con app. Once it does update, you know, watch over the social media stuff and, you know, all else, just have a good time. I mean, there is truly something for everyone 24 hours a day.
And if you're like us and you are a cigar nerd and want to smoke, the two best places, if you're not going to the phone booth, the pool area of the Hyatt and out back of the Hilton. Those are the two general meetup places for a quick smoke or a cigar throughout the con. And if you want to come hang out with us, like I said, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Cigar Nerd Pod. I will be trying to keep up with that stuff as much as internet service allows. So if you want to you want to meet up with us, send us a message. We'll come have a smoke with you or a beer, whatever. And also shout out to our sometimes guest Norm, who tried to cut his finger off with a hedge clipper, electric hedge clipper. Your finger stays out of the sharp spot, so we wish him a quick recovery. It's bad for an IT guy to have a damaged finger. You can't do a whole lot of tapping.
It's just painful. You're going to have to work for it.
And with that, we'll be right back.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I would say Rogue One has a more worn feel. And I love it for that because it looks a lot like New Hope, where everything isn't shiny and plastic like the Star Trek films.
We always talk about timelines and the franchises that we love. And now it's kind of like, okay, now we're going to do a Han story. Now we're going to do Obi-Wan story.
People do still like to go into movies and watch things that are different, watch things that are not related to superhero franchises.
With him, you might get the Russell Westbrook thing. Kevin Durant leaves, and he goes, I'm not going anywhere. This is my team. I'm leading up it for the long haul.
If you're into, like, very strategic style games and the co-op games in general, it's a highly recommended game overall.
Adds a sense of depth and personality that would escalate fighting games to a higher degree.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmos Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on the Podcast Radio Network and Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options.
And now it's time for All Things Nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News. So this week, just go ahead and jump into the mix. We're going to kind of keep it a little bit shorter than some of the other, previous news segments just because of the Dragon Con Survival Guide. So, a lot of news surrounding Netflix and Disney in the news as of late.
Fuckery.
Yeah, so, it was announced, that Disney is planning its own streaming service and that it would move its new Disney and Pixar films from Netflix in 2019, when it puts out its own service. Apparently, Netflix is now in talks with Disney to keep, Marvel and Star Wars after the 2019 date.
Yeah, because I've said it before, like, I don't want to have to pay for 50 different subscription services.
I mean, here's the deal, right? I mean, everybody's always talked about, a la carte programming, right? I only want to pay for the channels or whatever. At $5 a month, I could see, maybe doing, upwards of, 10 different streaming services or whatever, right? I mean, that's $50. That's still a heck of a lot cheaper than I can get cable or satellite, as long as I can get, the variety of content and that type of thing. But, if everybody's going to come out and it's going to be a $10 price point, then, all of a sudden, it's almost cheaper to move away from the streaming services.
Yeah, 'cause this point, like, with Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, like the major broadcast networks are all starting their own, streaming services with like CBS and and now Disney. It's like it's diluting the market too much to the point where it's like there's just too many things I have to subscribe for to get all the things, and it's might as well have cable at that point.
Absolutely. Or you're going to move folks away, more toward what streaming, I think, has, ultimately, assisted with. But, you hear, whether it's movie production studios or game studios, people, well, I'm sick of my content being pirated. Well, why is your content being pirated? Because a lot of times consumers are feeling nickel and dimed, or a pirated version of something doesn't come with all the DRM and flaws that, a illegitimate product was released, prior to it being ready, and, somebody polished it up and, happened to do a better job of it. So I'm all about competition, but, at some point, there's going to be a break, and yeah, the market's going to become, so muddled that.
Yeah, I mean, the one company that's kind of been is like the CW came out with their app, but it was free. I mean, they had you can get the last 5 episodes of any show you want, and watch it like next day without any kind of additional charges. But yeah, this whole like each, company coming out with their own pay service is just like, gets to be too much at a certain point. You have to prioritize what you're going to pay to see. And so far, Netflix has been good with all their Netflix originals and stuff like that. And with Disney pulling their movies and Marvel stuff off, what's that going to do with the Netflix originals like Daredevil and Jessica Jones and all their Marvel Netflix series? I mean, is that going to go away at some point or what? It's kind of a, I don't know, it seems like a bad move for Disney, and I've heard their stock prices have kind of, people are like, we don't know if this is the right decision.
Yeah, no, I mean, the stocks definitely did take a hit. I mean, unfortunately, Disney owns so many entities that, they've probably gotten too big to fail, and, unfortunately, most folks are going to be like, well, shit, I've got kids, and I really like Marvel, and I really like, Star Wars and all these other things, so, most folks will tend to bite the bullet, but I don't know. I'm really curious. I know Netflix is in the the whole several billion. Who knows? Maybe maybe Disney ends up buying out Netflix or something. Who knows?
That could be a move too. Trying to trying to strong arm Netflix into selling out so they can own all the things, because Disney has now become the empire.
So who knows? You know, as we'll keep folks abreast as we know more.
Witty twister.
Up next, with the success of Wonder Woman, we got the details for when the Blu-ray is going to be released. So this is going to be releasing on Ultra HD, Blu-ray, 3D Blu-ray, Blu-ray, DVD on September 19th. And the movie will hit digital HD on August 29th. So you can get your digital copy 3 weeks prior to your actual physical copy.
Speaking of Blu-rays, have you seen the Guardians of the Galaxy music video that's going to be available on the when it comes out on Blu-ray? The epic song, credits song with David Hasselhoff has now had its own music video starring all the characters from Guardians of the Galaxy, an epic 70s, disco versions. Oh, even has Chris Pratt as a dancing robot. If you haven't looked it up yet, find that video. It is insane.
Certainly. Next is we're going to switch gears a little bit from the whole Marvels and everything else. Let's talk about Justice League and, the Josh Whedon changes that are here to, quote, lighten the film. I think that this has been done before, and I don't think it worked out that well. I don't know. I say it can go either way. Most of the time when something's close to being, finished and then nope, we're gonna go back and rewrite it. I got a lot of respect for Joss, but I really like a lot of the darker, grittier, superhero films, and
like the last two movies of theirs has sucked so bad. Freaking the first Superman movie and even Batman v Superman was just it wasn't that they were dark. They were just badly written. And, Wonder Woman was good, so maybe they have turned it around. But, yeah, I've not got a whole lot of... I'm cautiously optimistic about Justice League, because so far they've, screwed me out of money twice. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to continue to donate to the DC's bad behavior.
It's weird, Going back, a month ago, it's... All right, I'm cautious, but can't believe I'm actually saying, hey, I'm sort of excited to see Justice League. And, now it's, all right, I'm even more cautious, and I'm not looking forward to it quite as much, I don't think.
Trailers have been good, but then again, the trailers for Batman v Superman were good, and the movie was ultimate crap.
Yes. So, I don't know,
We will see.
Rewrite, release another trailer. Let's see how it is.
Why is the Hulk in this movie all of a sudden?
Yeah, we'll see. So, switching gears, something I'm absolutely ecstatic for is Deadpool. We know who's playing Cable. And
it was none of the guys they rumored to play Deadpool. Yes.
You mean Cable.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Ryan Reynolds is still playing Deadpool.
But we have seen some pretty epic video of Deadpool driving a scooter.
Yes. We've seen that. But basically, David Lettich was, doing an interview with Comic Book Resources and, said that comic fans are going to be happy with the chemistry between Deadpool and Cable, that, he is sticking very much close to the comic book dynamics and interactions and stuff. So... thought that was a bit of cool, interesting news. I've been seeing, mixed, opinions as far as, Cable's look and everything. Me personally, I think it looks pretty good, but,
Facially wise, it looks like, Cable, but he's still not quite as burly as the comic books, but you really can't get anyone as big as Cable is in the comic books. And, this is kind of a production still. It's not the CGI you know, full completed costume. So I'm excited to see what they, you know, the last movie was good, so I'm excited to see how they pull this off. And he has like a ridiculous big gun, as Cable is known for.
Well, and you know, I mean, in the, you know, there's such a complex backstory to Cable that I don't, you know, I mean, Cable could pretty well have his own, you know, film to try to cover the backstory. So, you know, I'm really kind of curious as, you know, Deadpool, I wouldn't say, you know, really had a huge following, you know, up until, you know, the success of the first movie. You know, I think that's what put Deadpool on the mainstream map. You know, with Cable and, you know, folks not really knowing a lot of his backstory, I'm just kind of curious as to how they're going to, you know, do the first, you know, kind of introduction as to, you know, his character and that type of thing. So
then again, we didn't get a whole lot of backstory of the X-Men, and Deadpool is like, oh, here's Colossus.
Yeah.
Let's just go with it. I mean, and they didn't clutter things up with too much explaining. They just went straight Deadpool. So who knows? We may just get like, Cable's here, accept it, move on. We're going to do some shenanigans.
Yep. up next, switching gears, talk a little bit about Hellboy. Milia Jovovich. Yeah, well, that. Anyway, horrible pronunciation. My apologies. Anyway, she is going to be playing the Blood Queen. And, you know, we've got David Harbour playing, you know, you'll know him from Stranger Things, actually playing Hellboy. So, you know, I'm kind of curious as to, you know, the dynamics. You know, once again, we're getting a reboot. I would have much rather have seen Perlman, you know, come back and, you know, let's do a proper, you know, Hellboy sequel, not a reboot. But
I think Perlman's starting to get a little, you've seen him lately outside of makeup. He's starting to look a little old. I don't know if he's up to the action sequences anymore.
I don't know. Looks can be deceiving, I guess, but I don't know. Reboots.
Yeah.
Let's just do something original. Original. Originable. That's a new word, right?
Yeah.
Kuviki.
Trying to know about dirigibles.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm on a blimp.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 is making a debut with a new trailer and some new game modes at GamesCon. So this is where we're actually going to get a look at, you know, Battlefront 2, which I'm much more looking forward to than the previous Battlefront that had no campaign mode, you know. So, you know.
Yeah, the added, like, space battle modes looks awesome, because I mean, I was always a fan of X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, and being able to it not just being a shooter anymore, but actually being able to have dogfights. You know, the previous game you could get an X-Wing and a TIE Fighter, but it was more you're flying around over the battlefield shooting people on the ground. But now, you know, the air-to-air combat is going to be freaking awesome. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to playing when it finally hits the streets.
Absolutely. So you know, basically, you know, we're going to get a look at the new assault mode. You know, I'm sure that, you know, there's going to be, you know, snippets of the campaign mode and everything else, as well as a new trailer. So we're all going to, you know, see that. GamesCon live stream is going to kick off August 21st at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time. And that'll come out on PC, Xbox One, PS4, November 17th. So, you know, check out the live stream. I'll have my eyes glued because I want to see some epicness.
Yep.
And with that, any other news or anything I have failed to cover?
I think that is it. We got one more episode up.
Oh, you know what? The only other thing is Carl Urban.
Yes.
You know, from Judge Dredd. He is in talks to play Dredd for the TV series.
Yeah, if they can pull that off, that would be awesome. Because, I mean, I seriously wished his version of Dredd had gotten a sequel, because that movie was so much better than the Stallone version. And you know, I always like Carl Urban in things. He's always been good in movies, and even like his short-lived TV show, he was like Almost Human or something like that. I enjoyed the hell out of that. So yeah, if he can reprise his role as Dredd, even in a TV series, that would be freaking awesome.
Yep. So, as we know more, we'll let you folks know.
And with that, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Cigar Nerd Pod. Check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com or ESO at ESOPodcast.com. Be sure and check out StrikeForceEnergy.com. Don't forget to use your promo code Cigar Nerds for 20% off your order. And if you want some sweet smoking shirts, go to RealMenSmokeCigars.com. I just ordered a couple new Cigar Nerd shirts for Dragon Con, so I'll be showing them off that weekend. And with that, remember, Wolfman has no hearts. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.